Today on Tristan Storytime, Benjamin Bunny joins Peter Rabbit on his quest to get his clothes back from Mr. McGregor's garden. Then, a widow and her daughter obtain a magic porridge pot to cook some sweet porridge. Next, a shepherd puts too much trust in a wolf to guard his sheep, followed by a connection between ways to count to six and a clock in Hickory Dickory Dock. And finally, we'll conclude by reading about the many stories we've read together, with many more yet to come, in the awesome land of storybooks. Those stories and more, next. Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Tristan Storytime. I'm Tristan Gardner. I'm so glad you're able to join me once again for another great episode. And as always, feel free to use your imaginations, because this is what this podcast is all about, using your imaginations. So find a seat and get comfortable, because another episode of Tristan Storytime is about to begin. When Tristan Storytime first began in 2020, I didn't have much of an idea of how I wanted to go about it. At first, I wanted to read picture book stories and fairy tales, but never gave much thought into reading poetry until I was 5 episodes in. And you may recall that in the very first episode, I read the tale of Peter Rabbit, where Peter ventures into Mr. McGregor's garden and loses his jacket and shoes. Boy, he sure learned a valuable lesson the hard way, didn't he? And you may recall that I read this story in the very first season also. But today I thought I'd make an exception, since we're in the second season. So I'll read the sequel to The Tale of Peter Rabbit, where Peter's cousin, Benjamin Bunny, joins him in an effort to get his clothes back from Mr. McGregor's garden. Here is The Tale of Benjamin Bunny, written and illustrated by Beatrix Potter. One morning, a little rabbit sat on a bank. He pricked his ears and listened to the trit-trot, trit-trot of a pony. A gig was coming along the road. It was driven by Mr. McGregor, and beside him sat Mrs. McGregor in her best bonnet. As soon as they had passed, little Benjamin Bunny slid down into the road and set off, with a hop, skip, and a jump, to call upon his relations, who lived in the wood at the back of Mr. McGregor's garden. The wood was full of rabbit holes, and in the neatest, sandiest hole of all lived Benjamin's aunt and his cousins, Flopsy, Mopsy, Cottontail, and Peter. Old Mrs. Rabbit was a widow. She earned her living by knitting rabbit wool mittens and muffetees. I once bought a pair at a bazaar. She also sold herbs and rosemary tea and rabbit tobacco, which is what we call lavender. Little Benjamin did not very much want to see his aunt. He came round the back of the fir tree and nearly tumbled upon the top of his cousin Peter. Peter was sitting by himself. He looked poorly and was dressed in a red cotton pocket handkerchief.
"Peter,"
said little Benjamin in a whisper,
"who has got your clothes?"
Peter replied,
"The scarecrow in Mr. McGregor's garden,"
and described how he had been chased about the garden and had dropped his shoes and coat. Little Benjamin sat down beside his cousin and assured him that Mr. McGregor had gone out at a gig, and Mrs. McGregor also, and certainly for the day, because she was wearing her best bonnet. Peter said he hoped that it would rain. At this point, old Mrs. Rabbit's voice was heard inside the rabbit hole calling,
"Cottontail! Cottontail! Fetch some more chamomile!"
Peter said he thought he might feel better if he went for a walk. They went away hand in hand and got upon the flat top of the wall, at the bottom of the wood. From here, they looked down into Mr. McGregor's garden. Peter's coat and shoes were plainly to be seen upon the scarecrow, topped with an old tam-o'-shanter of Mr. McGregor's. Little Benjamin said,
"It spoils people's clothes to squeeze under a gate. The proper way to get in is to climb down a pear tree."
Peter fell down head first, but it was of no consequence, as the bed below was newly raked and quite soft. It had been sown with lettuces. They left a great many odd little footmarks all over the bed, especially little Benjamin, who was wearing clogs. Little Benjamin said that the first thing to be done was to get back Peter's clothes. in order that they might be able to use the pocket handkerchief. They took them off the scarecrow. There had been rain during the night. There was water in the shoes, and the coat was somewhat shrunk. Benjamin tried on the tam-o'-shanter, but it was too big for him. Then he suggested that they should fill the pocket handkerchief with onions as a little present for his aunt. Peter did not seem to be enjoying himself. He kept hearing noises. Benjamin, on the contrary, was perfectly at home and ate a lettuce leaf. He said that he was in the habit of coming to the garden with his father to get lettuces for their Sunday dinner. The name of little Benjamin's papa was old Mr. Benjamin Bunny. The lettuces certainly were very fine. Peter did not eat anything. He said he would like to go home. Presently, he dropped half the onions. Little Benjamin said that it was not possible to get back up the pear tree with a load of vegetables. He led the way boldly towards the other end of the garden. They went along a little walk on planks under a sunny red brick wall. The mice sat on their doorsteps, cracking cherry stones. They winked at Peter Rabbit and Little Benjamin Bunny. Presently, Peter let the pocket handkerchief go again. They got amongst flower pots and frames and tubs. Peter heard noises worse than ever. His eyes were as big as lollipops. He was a step or two in front of his cousin when he suddenly stopped. This is what those little rabbits saw around that corner. It was a cat, a great big tabby cat. Little Benjamin took one look, and then, in half a minute less than no time, he hid himself and Peter and the onions underneath a large basket. The cat got up and scratched herself and came and sniffed at the basket. Perhaps she liked the smell of onions. Anyway, she sat down upon the top of the basket. She sat there for 5 hours. I cannot draw you a picture of Peter and Benjamin underneath the basket because it was quite dark and because the smell of onions was fearful. It made Peter Rabbit and little Benjamin cry. The sun got round behind the wood and it was quite late in the afternoon, but still the cat sat upon the basket. At length, there was a pitter-patter, pitter-patter, and some bits of mortar fell from the wall above. The cat looked up and saw old Mr. Benjamin Bunny prancing along the top of the wall of the upper terrace. He was smoking a pipe of rabbit tobacco and had a little switch in his hand. He was looking for his son. Old Mr. Bunny had no opinion whatsoever of cats. He took a tremendous jump off the top of the wall, onto the top of the cat, and cuffed it off the basket, and kicked it into the greenhouse, scratching off a handful of fur. The cat was too much surprised to scratch back. When old Mr. Bunny had driven the cat into the greenhouse, he locked the door. Then he came back to the basket and took out his son Benjamin by the ears, and whipped him with the little switch. Then he took out his nephew Peter. Then he took out the handkerchief of onions and marched out of the garden. When Mr. McGregor returned about half an hour later, he observed several things which perplexed him. It looked as though some person had been walking all over the garden in a pair of clogs, only the footmarks were too ridiculously little. Also, he could not understand how the cat could have managed to shut herself up inside the greenhouse, locking the door upon the outside. When Peter got home, his mother forgave him because she was so glad to see that he had found his shoes and coat. Cottontail and Peter folded up the pocket handkerchief, and old Mrs. Rabbit strung up the onions and hung them from the kitchen ceiling with the bunches of herbs and the rabbit tobacco. While Peter Rabbit and Benjamin Bunny remembered that you could sneak in without getting caught, they did eventually, but not by Mr. McGregor. They'd been caught by Benjamin's father, old Mr. Benjamin Bunny. I just love reading stories, don't you? You're listening to Tristan's Storytime. Let me tell you something very important that I've learned over the years. Just because you have more and more of a good thing doesn't mean that it doesn't have the potential to cause harm. But, as LeVar Burton would say on Reading Rainbow, you don't have to take my word for it. Take it from a widow and her child who learned that too much porridge can create a major spill. Let me tell you the story of sweet porridge and you'll see what I mean. There was once a poor widow who had only one daughter, a child who was so good and gentle that everyone who knew her loved her. One day, the child went into the forest to gather firewood, and she was very sad because there was nothing left in the house to eat, and because she and her mother were so often obliged to go hungry. She had already gathered a bundle of sticks and was about to go home when she saw a poor old woman who had also come into the forest for wood. The woman was so bent and stiff that it was pitiful to see her. The child felt sorry for her and wished to help her.
"Good mother," she said, "let me gather the wood for you. It must be hard for you to stoop."
She put down her own load and gathered for the old woman as much as she was able to carry.
"I would take it home for you,"
said the little girl,
"but my mother is waiting for me, and I must make haste, for I am already late."
"Child," said the old woman, "you have a good heart, and you deserve to be rewarded."
She then drew out from under her cloak a little iron pot.
"Take this,"
she said.
"It is a magic pot. Whenever you are hungry, you have only to say, 'Boil, little pot, till the porridge is hot,' and it will begin to boil and fill up with sweet porridge. When you have had enough, say, 'Cease, little pot, the porridge is hot,' and it will stop boiling."
She made the child repeat the words after her several times, and she then gave her the pot and hobbled away through the forest. The child was filled with joy at the thought that now she and her mother need never be hungry again. She ran home as fast as she could, carrying the pot with both hands. When she came in, her mother asked her where the wood was.
"I have brought home something better than wood,"
cried the child.
"The wood only warms us, but here is something that will feed us as well."
She set the pot upon the table and said,
"Boil, little pot, till the porridge is hot."
The pot at once began to bubble and boil, and soon it was full and brimming over with sweet porridge. The widow caught up a spoon and dipped up some of the porridge out into a bowl, but the more she dipped out, the more there was in it. When all the bowls in the house were full, the child said,
"Cease, little pot, the porridge is hot."
And at once the pot stopped boiling. The widow was overjoyed at the treasure the little girl had brought home.
"Come,"
she cried,
"let us sit down and eat."
"Yes, dear mother,"
said the child,
"but first I will carry some of the porridge to the neighbors, who were so kind to us when we had nothing."
She filled a large kettle with porridge and started out with it. But no sooner had she gone than the widow began to wonder whether they had kept enough for themselves. She did not feel satisfied, so she said to the pot,
"Boil, little pot, till the porridge is hot."
Immediately the pot began to bubble and boil. Soon it was full, and the porridge began to run over. The widow wished to stop it, but she had forgotten what to say.
"Enough!"
she cried.
"Stop! Stop!"
But the porridge still boiled up and over the edge of the pot. The widow caught up the spoon and again began dipping out the porridge. She dipped as fast as she could. Soon all the pots and pans in the house were full, and still the pot continued to boil out porridge. In despair, the widow seized the pot and threw it outside the door. But the porridge flowed out from it in a stream and ran down the road. The little girl was coming home when she met the stream of porridge, and at once she guessed what had happened. She ran as fast as she could, and when she came to the place where the pot lay, she cried,
"Cease, little pot! The porridge is hot!"
At once the pot stopped boiling, but already enough porridge had been wasted to have fed the whole countryside. After that, the widow never again dared to tell the pot to boil. When they wished for porridge, it was the child who spoke to it. But from then on, she and her mother never lacked for anything, for the porridge was so delicious that people came from far and near to buy from them. Well, I'm sure the widow and her child learned their lesson after that little fiasco. And the moral of this story is, know how to finish something before you start it, because you can have too much of a good thing. Stay right where you are. Tristan Storytime will continue in a moment. Do you believe that a wolf can have a change of heart? Well, this shepherd certainly did when he left the wolf in charge of the sheep and learned his lesson the hard way. I'll tell you the story of The Wolf and the Shepherd by Aesop. A wolf had been prowling around a flock of sheep for a long time, and the shepherd watched very anxiously to prevent him from carrying off a lamb. But the wolf did not try to do any harm. Instead, he seemed to be helping the shepherd take care of the sheep. At last, the shepherd got so used to seeing the wolf about that he forgot how wicked he could be. One day, he even went so far as to leave his flock in the wolf's care while he went on an errand. But when he came back and saw how many of the flock had been killed and carried off, he knew how foolish it was to trust a wolf. Well, this moral will certainly help us remember the shepherd's mistake for a long, long time. Once a wolf, always a wolf. I'd like to dedicate today's nursery rhyme to my passion for clocks. Personally, I love to collect clocks, especially those that chime and strike. And what better way to do so than with today's nursery rhyme, Hickory Dickory Dock. And this time, there will be 6 verses, and as each of the verses goes, you'll hear the clock strike once for 1 o'clock, twice for 2 o'clock, and so on and so forth, as the saying goes. So let's join in and sing along to the classic nursery rhyme, Hickory Dickory Dock. Was fun, but time grows short and the clock is ticking away, so I better do one more thing on today's show. Tristan Storytime will continue in a moment. Tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock. I'd like to dedicate this poem to the stories I've read so far and the stories that are yet to come in future shows, as well as the stories that are read by children from generation to generation. And this poem is called The Land of Storybooks by Robert Louis Stevenson. At evening, when the lamp is lit, around the fire my parents sit. They sit at home and talk and sing, and do not play at anything. Now with my little gun I crawl, all in the dark along the wall, and follow round the forest track, away behind the sofa back. There in the night, where none can spy, all in my hunter's camp I lie, and play at books that I have read, till it is time to go to bed. These are the hills, these are the woods, these are my starry solitudes, and where the river by whose brink the roaring lions come to drink. I see the others far away, as if in firelit camp they lay, and I, like to an Indian scout, around their party prowled about. So when my nurse comes in for me, home I return across the sea, and go to bed with backward looks at my dear land of storybooks. Boy, those were some great stories that we read today, weren't they? But we just come to the end of another great show. Did you enjoy it? I know I did. Leave a comment on the Tristan Storytime Facebook page and Twitter feed. And don't forget to follow Tristan Storytime on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Oh, and hey, if you missed a great story from the past, you're in luck, because you get to see great videos of some of the stories I read in the past every Thursday afternoon at 4 p.m. on social media. Music and sound effects are included. And if you want to get in touch with me, that's also very easy. Just send an email to TristanStorytime@gmail.com and I'll be in touch with you lickety-split. Well, it's time for me to go, but I'll be back again to read some more great stories to you. Until next time, I'm Tristan Gardner. Thank you for listening, and God bless, my friends. And remember, keep using your imaginations. Today's stories and nursery rhymes are The Tale of Benjamin Bunny, written and illustrated by Beatrix Potter, published in 1904 by Frederick Warren and Company. Sweet Porridge, taken from the book Mother's Nursery Tales, told and illustrated by Catherine Pyle, published in 1918 by E.P. Dutton and Company. The Wolf and the Shepherd, taken from the book The Aesop for Children by Aesop, pictures by Milo Winter. Published in 1919 by Rand McNally and Company. Hickory Dickory Dock, written by Oliver Goldsmith, originally published in 1744. Music arrangement by the Green Orbs. The Land of Storybooks, taken from the book A Child's Garden of Verses by Robert Louis Stevenson. Illustrated by Jesse Wilcox Smith. Published in 1905 by Charles Scribner's Sons.